We are ringing in the new year with episode number 305, Parish of the Patriots, the first Parish of the Patriots of the new year, 2025. I'm glad you're here. Let's get to it. We're gonna be rolling. If this is your first time tuning, you started a New Year's resolution, you're going to start listening to the Parish of the Patriots. It's a great New Year's resolution. I hope you can stick with it. If you are new here, we do have a Christian-specific segment, a sermon, if you would. That is roughly the halfway point of the show. I encourage you to stick around and listen to it. I don't think it'll be like anything you might expect. I encourage you to do so, but it is in a separate thing. So if you're just absolutely demon-possessed and cannot stand to listen to it, I'm at least give you that opportunity to tune out. But I do encourage you to stick around for it. If you do get something out of the show, don't be shy. Pay those tithes. It is very much appreciated. We have the one and only snail mail. It's right there. The address is on the description page for the show here at Radio Albion, on the Radio Albion page here for the Parish of the Patriots. You can see that it's address an envelope. It is very much appreciated. Listener supporter mailbag. I've got Mr. T. Thank you, Mr. T. No, Mr. T is out of things to say. So I honestly thought about trolling Mr. T and just coming up with a random thing and attributing to you, but I didn't do that. Thank you very much. And you are my Lone Ranger for this week. Thank you, Mr. T. That wraps up listener supporter mailbag. It doesn't take very long. We're under 2 minutes. And we've gotten through all of it. So we are in 2025. And I thought, I was going to bed last night, laying there trying to go to sleep. And I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do for the show? It's more difficult because I have to do the Daily Nationalist on Monday. Mondays is now Daily Mail Monday, which is kind of a cop out for me. It's easy because I have the material basically provided. I always find things to talk about in the Daily Mail. A lot of it ridiculous. And then, of course, I do the Daily Nationalist on Friday, and doing the Daily Nationalist twice a week, a lot of times that cuts into material I would talk about in the first part of the Parish of the Patriots show. And so sometimes it's hard. It's hard to come up with stuff to do in the first part. And I'm laying there thinking, what am I going to do? And I thought, well, it's 2025. It's a new year. We can do predictions. That's right. We're going to do predictions. I know, and I'm not promising you any of this is going to come true. These are just predictions. But I thought it might be fun to go through, do some New Year's predictions again without any claims that this is definitely going to happen. If it doesn't transpire, don't be emailing me and saying, you're an idiot. You said this was going to happen this year, and it didn't happen. We're just having some fun. Just having some fun. But I do. Don't get me wrong. We're taking the prediction seriously. You know, we're not just being silly here. But I make no claims to having the ability to see the future beyond pattern recognition and things such as that. So I jotted some stuff down for our predictions, and I'm not going to do these in any sort of particular order. So let's see here. What do we want to do first? Trump disillusionment with Donald Trump, with Trump. This is prediction. You're going to see a lot of MAGA people get disillusioned. As you know, they've turned this into a weird personality called a fake messiah sort of figure out of Trump. And you're already starting to see, we had this whole recent thing with the whole H-1B visa, and that's just the beginning. You're going to see a lot of disillusionment, and there's this complete, because as I had been saying during the election, Trump made a deal. So because he's made a deal, you're going to get this whole different version. Trump 2.0 is going to be completely, not that Trump 1.0 actually accomplished a whole lot, but Trump 2.0, you're going to see this disillusionment in the MAGA people. You're going to see the personality cult start really fading away. The man behind the curtain. I was thinking about the different versions of Trump, you know, and Trump in 2016. And more particularly, the media's reaction to it. Because I do believe the 2016 election was an outlier. It was already decided Hillary would win. These elections have been pre-decided for a minute. And that really did come out of left field. They didn't expect that. And we saw that in the media's reaction. I mean, the meltdowns were epic. They were so meme-worthy at the time that these meltdowns Then you fast forward to 2020. And, you know, Trump is in the lead and everybody's going to bed and Trump's in the lead. And one of the things people should have noted, I noted at the time, were the media people were not in a panic at all. You've got all of these exit polls showing, yeah, Trump's going to get reelected, which shouldn't have been a surprise because Biden was such a poor candidate. But nevertheless, you see all the media people were just like, well, it shows Trump's in the lead right now, but we'll have to see how things turn out. And then lo and behold, we know what happened after that. You see, the fix was in and they were in on it. Now you fast forward to 2024 election. And, you know, it's showing that Trump is winning and ultimately, quote unquote, wins the election. And you didn't have any of those meme-worthy media meltdowns, did you? You didn't have these media people claiming Russian interference. You didn't see any of that. They were just like, well, it appears Donald Trump has won the presidency. They were okay with it. You see, the fix is in a different way. And that's going to get clear. Trump 1.0, when he ran in 2016, he wouldn't take any of their money. Trump 2.0, he's taking a whole bunch of their money. Have you seen the thing? And I've looked at the pictures and I agree with it. Where is Trump? Have you noticed the thing and read the thing where there's like different people they're putting out there? You know, just like the different Joe Bidens. Have you noticed that? There's people that are talking about it. And if you look at the picture, you got to agree with it. There is somebody, whether it's just for security and they're using a body double for security, whatever the case may be, there is a different guy that goes out there as Donald Trump. Because you've got pictures of him and he's this high, he's this tall, he's a tall person, his wife is super tall, and he's taller than she is. And then you'll have these other instances where he's out there walking around with these people that everybody knows are 5'7", and he's like the same height as they are. So it's obviously a different person. Kind of makes you think, doesn't it? But we're not getting off on that. You're going to see this digitally. You're already seeing this. This whole thing with H-1B visas. You see, you're already seeing the disillusionment coming around. You see these people that were MAGAing so hard during this last election because the savior Donald Trump was going to save it. The Messiah Donald Trump was going to save everybody, going to save America, going to make America great again. I was driving down the road the other day and I saw one of those buses that are hawking Trump merch. And they're still out there. I expected all that to go away after the election. They're still out there selling the hawking Trump merchandise for the cult. You're starting to see the disillusionment already kick in. And people are getting disillusioned. And my prediction is you're actually going to see a lot more of that. Because he hadn't even taken office yet. And you're seeing people being disillusioned. You see people trying to hold the cult together. And they're like, man, give MAGA a chance, man. Trump isn't even in there yet. All of this hubbub that's going, you're playing into the liberals' hands. As these other things come around, you're going to see the disillusionment. This is one of those predictions I do think is, I make that one thinking you're going to see that pretty quick. You're probably going to see that manifest because you're already starting to see it pop up. He hadn't even been sworn into office. When he has been sworn into office, I better try to catch the inauguration. If I don't, I'll watch videos of it later. I want to pay attention to who's around him and how tall he is. Because I'm wondering what happens if one of the fake Trumps is the one being sworn into office. Where's the real one? Where's the real one at? Prediction number two. This is another one that I'm pretty certain we are going to see. Though I don't know for sure it's going to be in 2025. I got a sneaking suspicion. It is because you see him warming up. We are getting another pandemic. You're getting some new form of the virus. It's not going to be COVID. I don't think it's going to be COVID because you already see them floating different trial balloons out. You know, the bird flu. I saw this morning where California is declaring emergency because of the bird flu. They're going to whip up another pandemic. Now, when you talk about another pandemic, you have to look at the COVID thing. You know, the take on the COVID thing. And there's a lot of different, people say a lot of different things at the COVID thing. And I think it's important. I'm not going to start rehashing COVID to death here. That's been done to death. But I do think it's worth noting because we have to understand what happened in the past to have an idea of what's going on in the future. On the one hand, you have the true believers that were like, COVID is as deadly as virus, it can deadly kill everybody, all of this, that's why you got to wear the mask and get double, triple, quadruple boosted or whatever the hell. And then you've got over here on the other side, they just relabeled the flu. Which is it? Well, when you're seeking the truth, you're always reflecting. You know, because the truth is best understood in hindsight, because they lie to us all the time. We're never going to have an idea at the time. So we have to constantly be looking, reevaluating. And this is my current take on the COVID. And it's relevant in the context of we're getting another pandemic, so we need to understand what they did with the last one. And, you know, they just assassinated the Russian general that was in charge of investigating the U.S. biolabs they discovered in the Ukraine. The U.S. is doing all this biological weapons research. And I read a snippet here a while back the other day, and honestly, I'd forgotten all about it. I forgot because there's so much going on. And when the COVID thing first broke out, a bunch of political figures in Iran died of the COVID. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, Israel's number one nemesis, it just so happens to hit them hard. That was interesting. If the COVID was a biologically designed weapon, bear with me, and no, it's not a Chinese. When you hear normicons talk about, it's the China virus, that's the CCP was attacking America and their greatest ally ever, only it didn't harm their greatest ally ever. That's just either somebody's retarded or they're just trying to be intentionally misleading. If it was a bioweapon that was designed to attack people with certain genetic traits, say, people in Iran in political positions, this would explain why you saw people with different, you know, that had, it had different effects on different people. Because, you know, we all know people that got the COVID that, you know, they got really, really sick from it. And then other people was just like, I don't know, like me, I didn't ever have it. Or if I did, I wouldn't know because I didn't go take that fake test. That test was fake as hell. You know, what difference is it going to make? You know, I didn't get sick from it. And yet, you know, I know people. I know people that, quote unquote, got COVID. And they did. They got deathly ill. They survived it. But they got deathly, or they did get really deathly ill from it. So why this wide variety, you know? Like, if you catch the measles, you know what you're going to see. I mean, you know the symptoms of the measles. And everybody pretty much demonstrates the same symptoms, right? And yet with the COVID, you didn't get that. Some people got deathly ill. Some people like me didn't get any of that shit. Or if I did get it, it was just a cold or the flu or whatever. And yet, interestingly enough, it struck the Iranian leadership very hard. Curious. It all makes sense if it was a US/Israeli, it's the same thing, designed bioweapon, doesn't it? Now, this matters because if we get another pandemic, it's going to be the same type of thing. And by the same type of thing, I mean genetically engineered. So who's going to be the target? This will be the tell. Who's getting sick? Because another pandemic is going to be tough to sell because there's a lot of people still pretty upset over the COVID nonsense. So it's going to have to be something that's a lot more harsh. It's going to have to be something that affects a lot more people. But they can't just be like mass wiping out half the population. They need somebody to go to war with Iran, which is going to get into another prediction. But they're going to need people to go to war with Iran. So they can't just like mass wipe out half the population. But they're going to need this thing to be severe enough where people get on board with their more draconian reaction to it. The lockdowns and all the rest that's going to go along with it. So I do expect the next pandemic will be designed to hit people a lot more harder and a wider range of people so it looks more legit because people are going to go into a new pandemic narrative a lot more skeptical after the COVID nonsense. So they're going to have something that is undeniable, that hits people hard. But now make no mistake, it'll be genetically designed. It's essentially going to be a bioweapon that they're going to release and they're going to use it to clamp down and get even more control. And regardless, no, I ain't wearing the freaking mask. War with Iran. War with Iran. Are we going to get war with Iran? We know this is what they're gunning for. There's this feeling of inevitability. They've been pining for this for a long time. Are they finally going to get it? Now, I'm a little iffy on this one. I don't know if you're going to see war with Iran in 2025. What I do think you're going to see is things continuing to lead up to that. They've got a really big problem with their plans for war with Iran. And for one thing, they're stretched too thin. Another thing, people are really checking out. What are you going to go fight for? They're going to have to do some sort of big false flag. Absolutely, it's going to have to be. And maybe this will tie. This could theoretically tie into the pandemic. We're having fun here. I have no idea. I don't have inside information. This is a mental exercise, and I think it's healthy. I do. I think it's healthy to do these mental exercises and think things through. What if, possibly? What if you get the pandemic, and then they claim it's an Iranian bioweapon, and people are getting really, really sick, and they use this to gin it up? Theoretically could happen. They're going to have to gin up something. They've already done the 9/11, you know, spectacular nonsense played out on TV. They've already done that. Trucks driving through crowds of people, it's becoming so commonplace, you know? Some guy running around stabbing people, that's not going to get it. They're going to have to do something spectacular. And people are so done with this system. It's going to have to be something that affects a lot of people. That's why I think it's within the realm of possibility they'll frame the pandemic as coming from Iran. It's going to have to be something that affects more people, you know, affects large swaths of the population. If they tell you, you know, Iran released a biological weapon on America, and, you know, one or two of your personal loved ones died from it, it's going to be a lot easier to whip you up to go join America. We're going to release the screaming eagle. They're going to have to try to hold together that Trump cult, because those are the people they love. Those are the people they need to go fight these wars. So I don't know if we're going to get the war with Iran this year, but I do think we're going to see the things leading up to it, and we may see the big false flag. You know, and me personally, I would recommend, and of course I would recommend this anyway, don't go to large public places, you know. Like, I would not go, if somebody said, hey, Dan, here's some free tickets to the Super Bowl. I don't really care about that anyway, but hey, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Under normal circumstances, I might would consider going just so I can say I went. It's free tickets, right? Wrong. I'm not going to some place. It's a big televised thing. Would stay away from those things. Because I do, I think that's a real possibility. Now, with the war with Iran problem is the fact they're stretched out. Which leads to the next thing. And in this one, it's not so much a prediction as it is a question, and which is going to kind of morph into a prediction, I suppose. And that is, are we going to see a wind down of the Ukraine thing? We see this factions. You've got the Israeli faction that wants that to go away so America can funnel its resources into fighting Iran, which is what the Israeli faction has. But then you have these, basically what amounts to Ukrainian/Russian Jews that want America to go fight Russia. And they don't want the Ukraine thing to wind down. So you've got this interfamilial conflict going on over what America's going to do. So you, there's this effort to wind down the Ukraine thing, but then there's another faction that wants to keep that thing going. So are we going to see a winding down in the Ukraine? I do think, because they've made it a point to have Trump make these statements about, you know, ending the Ukraine conflict in 24 hours, which is just more Trump BS. you know, but winding it down. And I do think we're going to see an attempt to wind down the Ukraine. Whether that's successful or not will be telling, and we'll get into that here. Whether it's successful, because they're not going to just yank the funding and say, well, we're done with that. It could happen. If the pro-war with Iran faction really presses hard and America's forced to go into, you get a big false flag and no, America's definitely got to go to war with Iran and it can't be done with this Ukraine thing dragging on, then you'll see a harder push to get that done. But I don't think we're going to see that. I think what you're going to see is this attempt before the big Iran war push to get this wound down. And what I think you're going to essentially see is some sort of attempt at like the Minsk Agreement 2.0 or a frozen. A lot of time you see these topics come up in the media and they're trial balloons. They're floating these things out to see how people react, see how the Russians react. A frozen agreement, which is something like North and South Korea, because that'll satisfy the other faction. Remember, this isn't about what you want. They don't give a shit what you want. This is about what the different factions want. The Israeli faction wants America to go to war with Iran. The Russian / Ukrainian Jewish faction wants America to go to war with Russia. You're watching an agreement play out between these parties. A frozen conflict could satisfy the Ukrainian-Russian faction in that, okay, we're going to freeze this conflict for now. We'll do another fake Minsk agreement, freeze the line of conflict, agree that, yeah, okay, Crimea is Russia's, whatever. And then, you know, that'll give Ukraine a chance to build forces back up. And we can come back to that and re-engage in that conflict later. We need America to go fight Iran right now. So we've got to freeze this conflict over here. That's why I think you will see a push for that. To satisfy, because again, this doesn't have anything to do with like American policy in the context of something that has, you know, benefits or whatever for you. They don't care about that. This is what your two powerful factions want. This negotiation. Frozen conflict says we can come back to that later. We'll give them a Minsk 2.0. We'll freeze the line of contact and then we can go do war with Iran. We'll come back to that later because Ukraine is spent. So this will give Ukraine a chance to kind of rest, build some infrastructure. And after we get done having a war with Iran, then we can start funneling stuff back to Ukraine and go back to Russia after that. Now, if that happens, if this is what gets floated out, and I think there's a pretty good possibility that we'll see this floated out in 2025. What's going to be interesting is the Russian reaction to this. This is what I'll be looking for, is how Russia reacts to it. I made the point, because there are a lot of people who have been critical of the way Russia has handled this Ukraine conflict by letting it drag out. They could have gone in there and just, you know, done a U.S.-style shock and awe and wiped the country out and in short order and it been done. And there's a lot of people critical in the way they have used such measured responses. It has allowed the West, the U.S. and its NATO proxies to get more and more and more involved. Now, I have made the argument that supposing if Russia looked at this situation before it ever came to the Ukraine conflict and came to the conclusion that all roads lead to a direct confrontation with NATO, then what they're doing in Ukraine makes sense. They're training their troops. They're getting battle experience. They're mobilizing more troops under the guise of the Ukraine conflict. And most importantly, you are these reports that NATO, the U.S., are running out of weapons. They're having to beg, steal, and borrow artillery shells from other countries like Japan to go send over there because they're running out of weapons. They're running out of ammunition. Now, if Russia had come to the conclusion beforehand that they're going to have to fight NATO one way or the other, this makes sense. You're degrading their ability to wage war before the conflict ever begins. Now, whether that line of thought is correct or not will be played out if this happens. If we see this attempt at, okay, we'll do a ceasefire, we'll come back and negotiate something later. Here's a Minsk 2 to take, you know, for right now. We'll freeze the line of conflict. If Russia agrees to that, then I'm all Then that idea of Russia's came to the conclusion they're going to have to fight NATO one way or the other. That was wrong, and they are just they're being how shall I say, a little too reserved, a little too fearful. You know, or they're relying on diplomacy and goodwill where none exists, and they've taken a foolhardy path. That will be borne out if they agree to it. Now, if the U.S. and NATO, they do a big push and then say, oh, frozen conflict. Well, there's a Minsk too. And Russia throws it in their face and says, no, we're not. Because I think any sort of offer for frozen conflict, fake Minsk agreement, whatever, it'll have to be preceded by something to back it up. Because the Russians are winning and they have no reason to negotiate. So they'll probably a threat, something along the lines of we're going to send NATO troops in to back up Ukraine. I think it's a bluff, but that'll be the threat. Ken, they're wanting to tie that up so they can funnel resources into a war with Iran, which again, we probably wouldn't see in 2025. This is what we're going to see in 2025 is the laying of the groundwork for the war with Iran, which would probably come around in 26. But man, we're getting specific here. I just said, I'm not really, this is just fun predict. I have no way to know. Here I am getting specific. The tell will be how Russia reacts to that. If Russia wads it up in their face and says, bring your whole crew and get wet. Now you know that Russia did. This will tell us that my line of thought, as far as that being a possibility, because I don't really know. But my line of thought that was a possibility, that Russia decided long ago that no matter what they do, they're going to have to fight NATO. And this is this whole Ukraine thing and the way it's carried out was a way of degrading NATO's ability to wage war before the conflict again. Because if that happens, if a direct conflict with NATO happens, and they ain't got no artillery shells, you know, the conflict ain't going to last very long. Then they're going to get a real negotiated settlement. That'll be the tell. That'll be interesting to see if it plays out like that. How Russia reacts to this frozen conflict. And again, that's a pretty real possibility because they keep floating that trial balloon out over and over to see, you know, to gauge the Russian response. The official offer is going to have to be preceded by some sort of if you don't. You know, everything has, if somebody says, you know, hey, here's this deal. And you're like, well, yeah, okay. And if not, what are you going to do? There's going to have to be a, if you don't, we're going to do this. And I think that threat, I mean, they've already used their, you know, the long range weapons, the tank, all the crap that didn't work. I think the threat is going to be, we'll send NATO troops into Ukraine and enforce a peace. And if Russia says, again, if Russia's response is essentially bring your whole crew and get wet, then we're going to know. I think this will be very telling, at the very least, that Russia had already committed to a direct conflict with NATO. And this is going to put Clown World Inc. into a big, humongous bind. Because this throws a wrench not just in the Ukraine. This will throw a huge wrench into the planned war with Iran. Because they're not going to be able to do this. They're not going to be able to do fighting with Russia and fighting with Iran. All of this also depends on China kind of just staying off the playing field, and they might stay off the playing field overtly, but they will be involved behind the scenes. You know, what form that would take, I don't know. But anyway, that would throw a huge wrench into the gears of their plans, because if that happened, I mean, there's a lot of supposing here, but supposing that happened, this throws a wrench into the Iran war plan. Now someone's called their bluff. Because like I say, threatening to send NATO troops into Ukraine to directly confront Russia, that's a bluff. I mean, I'm sorry, it is. It would be a bluff. They're trying. The goal is to get Russia to agree to a ceasefire, Minsk 2.0, whatever, so that they can then funnel resources into the Iran war. Russia's response will be the tell. If they go for it, if they bite on that stupid offer, then yeah, you know, all the criticism of Putin's decisions and the way the Russians have conducted the Ukraine war, all those are legit. There was no plan to ultimately confront NATO. It'll be telling because we don't know, but we'll know as these sort of things play out. Anyway, that was our fun attempt at 2025 predictions. It's gonna be crazy year. It's already started off with a bang, you know, and it's gonna get crazy. I'm telling people, just get ready. This year is gonna be nuts. This year may make what we saw around 2020 and all of that. It may just be off the chain crazy. So we're just going to wait around. We're here for the clown show. We'll be here at the Parish of the Patriots. We'll be here at Radio Albion to talk about it, to be your voice of sanity and all of the insanity that I predict we will see in 2025. We'll also predict we're going to get into the Christian specific segment. It's that time. We're going to keep it rolling. You know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon at the Parish of the Patriots. As regular listeners to the show know, which is basically almost all of you, probably virtually all of you, I've become more skeptical of the healthcare industry as a whole. And I was looking back somewhere, I was reflecting before recording the show on various things that when you look at it outside of this frame of thought that people have where they just trust the science. You know, that's becomes a meme now. But looking back over the years, we all have had that mindset along the way. And as we become more skeptical of things further out there, things that are kind of out there that they push on us and you're skeptical of it, you start bringing that in closer and look at things that you kind of took for granted that those were okay, and you become skeptical of them. Now, I've talked before, you know, I have to do these cancer scans, and I'm getting close to paying off the last one from last year because they're ridiculously expensive. And I'm about this close to saying that's the last one. They want me to keep doing them, and I'm about of the conclusion that they're simply milking me for money at this point. Yes, I'm going somewhere with this. Bear with me. It'll get interesting. Stick with me. This will get interesting. And, you know, part of that is just because, you know, they're injecting you with, besides their fact that I think they're just milking me for money, they're also injecting me with this radioactive stuff. And, you know, maybe if the cancer comes back due to the radioactive stuff, then they can make even more money doing the treatments. But beyond that, you get to be skeptical about other things, you know, and I read an article, and many of you probably saw it this week. There was some research done, and lo and behold, they found all of this residual DNA material in the COVID vaccines. And you read that, and it's easy to just skim through that and say, wow, yeah, I knew that vaccine was bad news. But interestingly enough, my first reaction was DNA from whom? Whose or what's DNA are we talking about? Supposedly the regulations, which it's laughable at this point that we pretend those are even applied to these pharmaceutical companies. The regulations say it can't be above a certain percent, and the amount that these people doing the research found was like 750 times the amount of residual DNA. Again, my question is, who or what DNA are we talking about? All of the ground-up aborted fetuses' DNA, perhaps? Now, before you step back and advise take meds, schizo or something like that, bear with me on this. Because when you step outside of these things, and you start thinking about it, and you start seeing they promote a thing that's just your instincts tell you it's inherently evil. Why are they obsessed with the idea of inserting somebody else's biological material in you? I mean, they control the government regulating apparatus. If it was just about making money, I mean, we know the vaccine doesn't actually prevent you from getting it. It doesn't do any of the things advertised. They could have basically marketed a saline solution and just raked in billions anyway. And who would be the wiser? Why this fascination? And it reminded me Again, we're getting somewhere with this. This isn't even the main topic. This is the preamble ramble where I just kind of ramble about something before we actually get into the topic. But this got me thinking years ago, because I've come to the conclusion that modern dentistry is in large part a scam. Years ago, they told me, you know, you have really bad periodontal disease. And because of this, we can't clean your teeth anymore, because what happens is bacteria gets down in there and eats the bone away down there deep. And they say, we can't get down in there and clean your teeth. This is because I'd quit getting my teeth cleaned, because the people I was going to, the dentist's office I was going to clean my teeth, were just like, they would butcher my mouth every time they got in there. And it just got ridiculous, and I quit doing that. Then finally, I went to a different place years later, and they're like, oh, well, you're ate up with periodontal disease. Long story short, they send me to this specialist dentist place, and they start telling me they want to charge me $15,000. I'm sure it's double that now, because this was years ago. They want to charge you $15,000, and we do this process where we take cadaver bone that is ground up into this paste, and we stuff it down in the holes, and your body will absorb that and make bone somehow. This got me thinking about that. I reflected, but needless to say, I didn't do that. I didn't have the money anyway. But it got me thinking about one of the most unclean things in the Bible is the idea of dead men's bones, you know. And the idea that they're taking dead bodies and grinding these bones up and stuffing them in your mouth, because your body will graft that in. I kind of call BS on that. I think they basically are making a paste, and the paste hardens in there and probably fills in the holes. But this idea that they're taking cadaver bones and grinding them up and you graft it in. Now, if you know anything about grafting, you have to take a freshly broke off branch and you can graft it onto a tree. Because when you say grafting, that's what people think about. You can't take some stick that's been laying out there for a year, long dead, and graft it onto a tree. It ain't going to work because it's dead. It just got me thinking about this idea they're grafting in dead men's bones. And of course, by the way, no, all of my teeth have not fallen out. I don't have a big infected nasty mouth. I just figured out you can basically wash all of that out really good several times a day with under pressure with Listerine, and lo and behold, you don't get the infection because you keep the food cleared out. Again, they're not going to tell you that because there's no money in it for them. Now, to the topic that I was actually going to discuss today. As you know, this is a godless nation, godless people, but yet people still have a spiritual need. And I've talked before about how you could see people attempt to fill that need with worldly things. You know, they create these fake religions with some of the elements of actual religion to them, but they're all worldly centered, and none of them works. And I was looking the other day, a really good example of this, which I thought we would actually discuss today. This is where I was getting with this. And that is psychiatry. And I'm using that as a broad term. I'm including all of it, all of the forms of therapy and all of the rest with it. It's a really, I think, a good illustration of attempting to deal with spiritual problems, what amount to spiritual problems, with worldly solutions. Because what choice do they have? They refuse to acknowledge that the spiritual even actually exists. So everything has to have a physical, a physical answer. Because, again, they don't even recognize the spiritual. Now, as Christian believers, basically so much of our existence consists of self-reflection, you know, prayer, seeking the Holy Spirit, reading the Bible, and all of these things come back around to a lot of time spent reflecting on yourself, you know, going over why you do the things you do and coming to stripping away your justifications. I've talked about that at length. We don't have to beat it to death here, but knowing that we spend so much time self-reflecting. And I was thinking essentially, we seek the Holy Spirit and we seek God's counsel as we self-reflect so that we're able to break down our own justifications, our own lies that we tell ourselves, our own reasoning, and deal with the sin, which is always destructive. The sin is the problem, and we have to get rid of that stuff that we build up to justify it. And yet, in psychiatry, they tell you go to a therapist, whether it's your psychiatrist, some kind of licensed counselor or whatever, and you lay on the couch or sit in the chair, whatever the hell they have you do, and you counsel with this other person. Of course, right away, you can see a problem with that is that other person has no idea what's in your heart. You could be being completely honest. You could be BSing them. You could be lying. They have no way to know. If you're earnestly seeking out the Lord, God knows what's in a man's heart, and he will help you strip away those things that have built up over the years so that you can deal with the problem, which is going to be sin at its core. The therapist has no way to know that, and they're just billing you by the hour anyway, so it kind of really doesn't even matter to them. But it was how they replace the counsel of the Holy Spirit. They replace the exercise of seeking the Lord with you sitting around and talking to this complete stranger who may or may not have any clue what the answer is. In fact, some forms of therapy, they will tell you, well, we don't give you the answer. We will sit here and let you talk about it and help you come to your own conclusions. While other therapists, they will sit there and give you a life plan. This is what you ought to do. Yet this therapy, this psychiatry is never going to actually have an answer for you, because what you're dealing with, by and large, when you get down to it, are spiritual problems. Yes, some of those may actually stem from a traumatic incident that happened to you, or your, you know, things that took place in your childhood, the home you grew up in. All of those things do indeed, they play a part. I always tell people, you know, when it comes to dealing like raising your children or whatever, you have to, children are basically born in this world like a blank slate, you know, a computer with no code on it. And as you raise them and set examples and teach them, you're writing the code for them. You know, you're laying the foundations for a lot of things in their lives. And when people do a really shitty, poor job at that, you wind up with these screwed up adults with all of these issues from their childhood. But again, it ultimately comes back to a spiritual problem. The reason somebody seeks out psychiatry or counseling or therapy, whatever form of it, is because these issues they have are causing a problem for them today. They're manifesting as issues now for these people who are adults, and it's a problem. But what's the problem? Ultimately, when you get down to it, you're going to find sin. Sin is always destructive. Sin masquerades as pleasurable, as something you think you desire. But the core element, when you strip away all of that BS, is it always winds up being destructive. So when you actually are going through this thing, when you're going to deal with the problem, you're going to wind up dealing with sin. And yet, psychiatry is completely bereft of the idea of sin at all. You're not going to hear a therapist say, well, your problem is sin in your life. You know, this is destructive because these issues you're carrying around, justifications, things that happened in your life and not dealing with them, they've all come together and metastasized to now, you know, you've got sin in your life. And it's having, of course, predictably a destructive result. You're never going to hear that. You're not going to hear that from a psychiatrist, therapist, counselor, whatever the hell you're going to. They're never going to say the S word, and yet that is the problem. If it's not manifesting in sin, it's not really going to actually be a problem. Sin is always destructive, and yet they are not going to acknowledge the spiritual element. In other words, it's quackery to a high degree because you're attempting to deal with a spiritual problem without spiritual answers. That's not going to work. Like, ever. It's like trying to fix bad code in a computer with a hammer. You're using a physical tool for a data problem. That's not going to work. You can sit there and bash the keyboard all you want to. It's not going to fix the problem. You have to have the correct tools. You have to have the correct tools to deal with the problem. And yet it doesn't. But it is this manifestation. Instead of a priest or the Holy Spirit or a preacher, counselor in God, the Holy Spirit, you substitute that with some rando sitting there charging you by the hour. And you think you're making a breakthrough. And zip, time's up. Time's up. We'll take this up next week when you come back. And of course, because they don't have any answers, they can't have any answers. What are they always going to come back to? We'll write you a prescription. You know? Oh, you're depressed. Well, of course you're depressed. You got sin eating up. You live in a corrupted, downfallen society. You're surrounded by the promotion of every sort of degeneracy around you. They constantly flood you in your face, ears, everything with lies. And they lie to you about everything. The world is upside down. You're having a completely normal reaction to that, which is spiritual revulsion. And what do they say? We'll write you a prescription. You hear people joke about that. I have to take my happy pills. You hear people tell you that, you know, they'd be like, man, I tell you, if I didn't take my happy pills, I couldn't cope with life. I ain't taking no happy pills. My gosh, can you imagine? I can't cope with life unless I take my happy pills. Got to take my happy pills. So they just drug you into a false sense of everything's okay. They just numb you. They just deaden you. You can't deal with the issues if you're just going to drug them over. It's like being in pain. Your body produces pain to let you know you've got an issue. Your pain is not pointless. You know, if your shoulder hurts continuously and you can't hardly do anything with it, the pain isn't the problem. Your body is telling you, quit using your shoulder. There's something wrong with it. And if you continue to use it in this manner, you're going to damage it further. And you've got torn cartilage in there or whatever. These people have this depression. They've got all these things going on. There's an underlying problem. You're depressed. There's a reason you're depressed. And more than likely, it's because sin has taken a hold in your life and you're not dealing with these things. The counselor, the Holy Spirit, we seek out. And this is where you get to the core of it, because you can't lie to the Holy Spirit. And it keeps you from, it helps you break through, rather, the lies that you tell yourself. Some guy sitting in an office somewhere is never going to manage to do that. He'll just write you a prescription for your happy pills and send you along the way. They pretend it's some sort of, they're doing some sort of, you know, modern, this is the science. And yet, they don't actually have any answers. They will do a diagnosis. They'll say, oh, well, you're bipolar. You're schizophrenic. They have all of these things. And we use those terms, you know. We use those terms and say, well, yeah, that person is a schizo. Bipolar. They're crazy. But if you ever press these people, say, well, what is it? Well, it's when people exhibit these. No, I'm not asking what the symptoms are. Those are symptoms. When you talk about when people exhibit these behaviors, they fall into this category. Those are symptoms. I'm saying the question is, what causes it? What is the underlying? Can you point to a physical malady that causes bipolar, schizophrenia, whatever? What are the physical things? Because if you know what the underlying problem is, you could fix it. They can't tell you. They talk about the sins. Well, if you exhibit these behaviors, that means you are this. But that's not what normal people have. So there has to be something underlying causing it, doesn't it? I mean, this just makes sense. There has to be an underlying issue. What's going on? Something has to be causing it. And if you're the science and you have all of these answers, what are the underlying issues? What is causing this to happen? And that's what you should be focusing on if these are truly all just physical problems, earthly, worldly problems. If there's no spiritual element to it, then what's the cause of it? Tell us what is, they can't tell you. I've just spoiled the story for you. They can't actually tell you. They don't know. They'll write you a prescription for it. They'll put you on a certain, they've got their list. Oh, you got these symptoms. This means you fall into this category. And what comes at the end of that? We write you a prescription for it. And hopefully they can medicate you enough to curb your behavior where you can kind of sort of maybe function in society. Sometimes that sort of works and sometimes it doesn't. But ultimately, whenever the person, we use the term, you know, they're off their meds. Because when they quit taking the meds, what do? They go back off the rails. Why? Because they're not dealing with the fundamental problem. Because they can't. They're spiritual issues. Whether their spirits, you know, it's a spiritual issue that manifested from things in their childhood. I mean, it can come from any number of sources. But the reason you're going back, you should be going back and reflecting on these different things, whether it's something from your childhood, a traumatic experience you went through, whatever the case may be. The reason you've got to be going back through that isn't just keep rehashing it. You're trying to tear all of it away so you can get to the source, so you can get to dealing with the sin problem in your life. Psychiatry doesn't have any of those answers. It's a masquerade. You see all the trappings. You know, you have your religious figure. You have your, you've got your therapist there. He's filling the role of fake Holy Spirit or fake priest or whatever the case may be. But they're never going to have the answer because you're dealing with a spiritual issue. The more you look into it, it's quackery. If not virtually all of modern psychiatry traces back to Sigmund Freud. And, you know, pretty much everybody is familiar with Sigmund Freud's quote of sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. And the context of that is he was real big on making everything shocking. This would be shocking. Everything had some sort of weird sex kind of undertone to it, you know. Oh, well, you wanted to have sex with your mother or something. He would always wind up with a lot of these weird sexual undertones to his quote-unquote diagnoses. See, this is reflective of, you know, you're wanting to do these weird sex things. I know, it's shocking. And as I recall the story, someone along the lines, because he would smoke those cigars, and somebody basically said something along the lines of, well, maybe this is indicative that you actually, you know, like oral sex with men or something. And then, oh, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. You see, this is for you. This isn't for me. You see, these quackery diagnoses, this is for you. I'm just smoking a cigar. You want to have sex with your mother. You have all these weird things you're wanting to do. You look into Freud and it's just obviously, it's obviously just a bunch of misleading quackery at best and spiritual misdirection at worst. So look, here's the thing. Everybody's got issues to varying degrees. Most people can function in society with the issues they have, but you're still working on those issues. Some people have more extreme issues. They've been through more traumatic experiences. They were raised up in more chaotic households when they were children. But wherever you are, you're not going to find the answer with some fraud sitting there and analyzing you when they have no idea what's actually going on inside of you. You got to start self-reflecting, and that is with the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Again, the reflection and the kind of mimicry, they're trying to get you, the therapist is allegedly, he's trying to get you to reflect on yourself and to understand yourself, but he can't understand you, so it's always going to not work. By and large, it's not going to work. The way it should work, in my opinion, is the Holy Spirit is your counselor. It's referred to, Jesus said, I'll send you the counselor, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is interacting with you while you're interacting with the Holy Spirit and reflecting on yourself. So the Holy Spirit does understand what's in your heart. The Holy Spirit does already know what's in your past, what it is that you're dealing with. So you're not having to go through the experience of trying to reveal something to a stranger. It's difficult enough to self-reflect and deal with things. As it is, you add to that, you got to reveal this to a stranger. Just as an example, let's just say, you know, there's people, let's say as a small child, you were raped, as you were 5 years old and you were raped by whoever, doesn't matter. Let's say that happened. Now, you're an adult and you're having all of these serious sin issues. You're not able to function because sin has become manifest in your life. And you're working through, you're seeing this therapist and they're helping you work through your issues. But in your heart, you already know that at some point you're going to get back to that. When I was 5 years old, I was raped. It's going to take you so long and maybe not at all to get to that, because at some point you got to tell this stranger that when you were 5 years old, you were raped. You see, that acts as a roadblock. You don't want to tell anybody about that. When the Holy Spirit is your counselor, you don't have to deal with that because he already knows. He already knows what happened. You don't have to deal with that. You can focus on working on why that is now manifested into these other destructive, sinful behaviors in your adulthood. You can get your mind wrapped around the fact that when you were a child, this happened to you. And you need to get that filed away in its proper place so that now it can quit anchoring you down. But you see, the Holy Spirit already knows. That guy sitting in the chair billing you by the hour doesn't know. It's going to be very difficult to come out and tell them that this is what happened to you. Now, sometimes people can go on and do that, but then where does that leave you? Oh, well, at the end of the day, their answer is always going to be, we'll write you a prescription, because that's all they can do. They can't come in. Listen, some guy with a degree sitting in an office, he can't come into your heart and help you to heal. He just can't. You're dealing with spiritual damage that is now manifested. Look, these things, because we use the term sin broadly here, sin is now manifesting in a whole number of different areas in your life. And at first glance, it doesn't have anything to do with maybe your earlier trauma, but it is connected. You've got this whole, all these different problems, relationship problems, work problems, drug problems, alcohol problems, whatever. It's manifested in your life, your inability to function like everybody else is. And all of it's interrelated. That guy has no idea. He can't know. You can't know what's in somebody else's heart. You're dealing fundamentally with a spiritual problem. This guy, he can't do that. Even if he has good intentions, he can't actually do that. You got to deal with spiritual problems with spiritual techniques. With the answer to spiritual problems are going to be spiritual answers. If surely that makes sense. It's using the proper tool, you know. If I'm working on something and I accidentally cut two of my fingers off and I've got blood gushing out of my two fingers, you know, I'm not going to wrap a cloth around it and start praying on it. I'm going to go down and find somebody and stitch that up. Maybe, hopefully, sew the fingers back on. I'm going to deal with that physical problem. I'm going to go, as skeptical as I am about certain things in the healthcare industry, I'm going to grab my fingers, wrap a towel around everything, and get down to the emergency room and hope some doctor is competent enough to maybe sew my fingers up. If not, they're going to have to sew it up, because otherwise I'm going to bleed out, right? I'm going to sit there and wrap it up in a towel and start praying, oh, Jesus, heal me of the... you ain't got a spiritual problem here. You've got a physical problem. If you don't want to bleed out, you better get down to somebody that can sew that up, because you can't do it yourself. You got to deal with the proper problems with the proper tools. If you're dealing with a spiritual problem, trying to use a doctor. Now look, if you got serious problems and you're on meds, I ain't telling you quit taking your meds. I'm telling you, start seeking God. Start seeking the Holy Spirit. Start really getting on this. Look, you got to get down to the answers. You just start looking into these things. You just start praying. You start, God, get serious. Because if your life isn't where you want it to be, you got to get down to that answer, you know, of why that is. I always say our lives, and it becomes more so the older we get, our lives are essentially where we're at is the cumulative result of the decisions we've made. And if you're in a bad spot and your life is unhealthy and you're not satisfied and you're depressed, you've got all these problems, then you've been making a lot of poor decisions. Why is that? You've got to start getting to that answer so you can start making better decisions. But as long as you're stuck in that pattern, you're going to keep getting these same results. And as you delve into that, start stripping away the justifications for your self-destructive behavior, for your sin, you know, you're going to start finding the answers. I just find it interesting that the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit at points as the counselor, and people go to quote unquote counselors, other people. They don't get the results, but you see that manifestation of a spiritual need being carried out with these fake proxies that can't ever do the job. I hope that makes sense, because we see that a lot. Again, we see that a lot because we live in a godless society. People have abandoned God. They've abandoned the spiritual. They seek all of their answers in the physical, and things keep getting worse. At some point, you would think people would stop and say, this isn't working. But they don't. They keep on trying to do the same thing over and over, finding a spiritual answer in the physical, and it's not working. Society keeps degrading. Seek your spiritual answers in the spirit. That's where you're going to find. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you guys, I hope it wasn't too convoluted. When I get to this point, when I'm wrapping everything up, I hope that made sense. I hope somebody got something out of it. We're going to wrap up on that note. I appreciate you stopping by once again this week. And I hope to see you back here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.